Yutes Yasimun Pei Ches Halacha Beis, and we're going to Halacha Vav. So here we go into the world of Muktzeh. We started off with actually things that are not considered what's Muktzeh, the term Muktzeh, which means set aside. Now we're going to go through different categories of things that are Muktzeh, and this includes things that are not fitting at all for human consumption. Meaning the way they are right now, they're not considered fitting for human consumption, even what's called the idea tchak, meaning, for example, it needs cooking. Interesting, in the time of the Gemara, raw meat was called umtza, was something that people ate. Today, you won't find anyone from down here on earth, albeit that we already have what's called sushi, but sushi of meat, that we still don't have, as far as I know. And therefore, that would be a good example of something that's muksa. And even though, technically speaking, you can give it to the dogs, but since you're not planning on giving it to the dogs, so therefore it's not considered oymet for the dogs, and therefore it's considered muksa on Shabbos. Nevertheless, I saw in the Piskei Shuvos, he says that for raw fish and raw meat, there is still room to be make on, and when there's a need for it, for example, if the fridge stopped working and you need to move it, so best, you could move it, but best to move it like with the back of your hands. So this way you're doing it big gufoy and you cover all your bases. Another other examples that the Kitza gives are things that are base that are really that are not, there's no use for them. Wood. And generally speaking, by the way, this is a concept of muktzeh machmas gufoy. Basically muktzeh items that there is no purpose for them on Shabbos. And so included in this is wood, feathers, even animals. Now, animals is a very interesting topic. I started mentioning it the other day. Even if it's home animals, which is what the kids is talking about, but I don't think in his time that there was such a concept, although there was a one, we do find this concept discussed, but the idea of pets on the level that we have today is a whole different world. And it's interesting, I didn't see the article or even the Piscatruis raise this question. But the Maisa, there is a tshuva in the last Chalik of Moshe that seems to be Mako. And there's also, I saw in Shlomo Zalman Obach, I think it's in Shulchan Shlomo, that pets today are like toys. So this is a debate. I would be lenient myself for a child when there's a need for it. When it comes to peels, bones, and all this stuff, that's not really even for dogs, and especially today we don't feed these things to dogs. So technically speaking, these things are muktzeh. And it's actually something that sometimes people don't think about. You have walnut peels or garinim. Sunflower seeds that are on the table, you're not allowed to move once you put it on the table, unless it's disgusting, it's piled up enough and it's disgusting, so then you're allowed to move for a different reason. It's muktzeh machmas smius, which we'll discuss later. Broken shards, if they're not fitting for any other use, you're not allowed to move. But if it's dangerous, like a glass or broke, you're allowed to move because of the danger aspect. When it comes to food that is forbidden to be eaten, you know, you're allowed to have hanah from it. So, for example, something you can't eat because it's not kosher, you could give it to a non-Jew. So, as long as it's cooked, so technically it's me, you can give it to the non-Jew right now. So, the halacha is that you're allowed to move it around. As we mentioned, if it's not royally at all, for even for a non-Jew. And so, for example, if it's not kosher meat, then it's basachai, it's raw meat, which we mentioned already before, the whole discussion about that. So that is already considered, and also you're not allowed to move that around. Another category is noilad. What's noilad? Noilad are the things that are created when Ischadish renewed themselves today on Shabbos Kodesh. Before Shabbos, they didn't exist, or at least in this form, and now they are. An example of that is ashes in the fire. So let's say a fire that was burning, and now there's ashes that was created today, or even a fire that was created to a non-Jew. Those ashes are considered noilad. And an egg, the classical case of noilad, there's an egg that was born today. Water that's dripping from trees that was through vapor and was amassed on Shabbos itself during the month of Nisan, as the Kitzur says, sap of some sort, all these things are considered noilad. And even if something wasn't exactly renewed today, but it came through an action that you weren't allowed to do today, what's an example of that? Let's say you have fruits that fell off a tree or were picked off by a non-Jew. All these things you're not allowed to take, you're not allowed to use on Shabbos. Milk that was milked, we said before, also we learned this earlier, you're not allowed to use on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. And this is a shayla now. Someone just asked me recently, he lives in Manhattan, and he wanted to know if he could have these certain breads that they bake certain kosher bakery or someone that sells kosher bagels of some sort. So the question is, are you allowed to use them? So the Kitzur says, any bread that was baked by a non-Jew on Shabbos, so if it's a city that means the store is primarily supplying and baking these breads or bagels or whatever it is for non-Jews. So that means when they're baking it, their intention was for non-Jews. So if it's Shasat Chak, very interesting. Shasat Chak, Torah Mitzvah, that's, you know, no challah at all for Shalashidis. Not Shalashidis, Shalashidis is a debate. Let's say for the main meals, a Jew is allowed to actually have these things on Shabbos. Of course, you have to do it in the right way. You have to take it, speak to them, you know, about the campaign and pay it on Shabbos. But a person has to be very careful when it's done for a Jew, purposely for a Jew. As I mentioned, sometimes you could be in a hotel and they're putting on urns and water, and they're clearly, if the majority of the people there is a Jewish, let's say in the hotel, it's a bar mitzvah of some sort, then for sure it's forbidden. Okay, another category that we're discussing now is what's called kli shemelach le'iser. So any utensil that does work, whether it's a hammer, whether it's a screwdriver, all these things, the kids even gives examples as brooms, but we hold that today brooms is okay because today you're allowed to usually sweep the floor. But yeah, the kids gives other examples of a shofar, menorah, needles, candles. Actually, interesting that some of these categories you could say maybe is muktzamach gufa, for example, shatnez, clothing that is shatnez, so technically you can't wear it. So the kids actually use that as a kli shemelach le'iser. It's forbidden to use, and therefore you're let, now the benefit is that whether it's muktzamach gufa, muktzamach kli shemelach le'iser, either way it's also, but there is a major leniency. When it comes to kli shemelach le'iser, which means the utensil that's used that's designated for a use that you're not allowed to do in Shabbos, so you're allowed to move to gufa mekoyim. What does that mean? If you, let's say, you need a hammer to break the walnuts, you're allowed to do that. That means you don't have something else. That's really a discussion in the Mishnah Berurah. So you're not, you could use the hammer for opening up walnuts. Another example is you need a space. So those are two examples, the leniencies within the laws of kli. Now the exception is you're not allowed to move it for the purpose of, you know, for saving it from being stolen or getting ruined. An exception to that is tefillin. Tefillin, because tefillin is a debate, even if it's mukta or not. Some say tefillin may not be mukta, and certainly if it's in a place of bizarre, that means it's going to get ruined, it's going to get disgusting, or it's going to get ruined, or some concerns, and then you're allowed to move them in order to place them in a safe spot. And lastly, the last category that we're going to discuss today is what's called muktzamach mischisonki. So this is a very fascinating topic. When I was giving share this in shul, discussing the opinions, the kitzur is quite machmir because he lists anything that a person would be careful not to use the item for anything else. Meaning it's price, it's expensive for that person. It's actually subjective. For some people, these items may be not so important, and therefore they'll put it anywhere. They'll use it for anything. So an example is, let's say you have a smartphone. So if someone has a, let's say, a regular phone, a cheap phone, they don't care so much. They'll let the kids play with it when they need to. They'll use it to hold down papers. They'll put it here. They'll put it there. So that, therefore, that's only considered kli shemelach le'iser. You'll have to move it to gufa mekoyme. But by the way, mekoyme also means we need the space. You don't want it there because of a concern, like the alarm clock, classical case, your phone's going off, there's an alarm on. You'll have to move it in order to not wake someone up. But in any case, but then there's things that are expensive that you really would never move. You never use for anything else. Some people like to have an expensive smartphone. You would never let anyone touch it, either because you don't want anyone to see what's written on it. This, you know, it's private, etc. Included in all these cases is the classical cases the Kitzur gives is the knife of a shechita, because people are very careful not to lose the sharpness of it. Even paper, expensive paper. In the old days, paper was very expensive. Documents of some sort, passports is a classical shaila. Now there's a debate about this. Why is that? Because there's a Vilna Gaon, and there's other shitas in the Rishayim that hold that klisha muktzamach mischisonki is only after you first have this first level, that's klisha melach le'iser. So that opens up a tremendous leniency. It will actually knock out a lot of items. For example, let's say expensive paintings. Paintings is not necessarily klisha melach le'iser, so maybe it wouldn't be in the category of muktzamach mischisonki. According to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, nevertheless, it is. So one should be careful when it comes to these items not to move them unless it's a very big necessity. And then the best way, if you have to move something, is to use your, like we said, the goof, your body, because when you're moving something that moves with your body, that's not considered real tiltal. Have a beautiful day.